Good afternoon. This week we have the incredible privilege to read Parshas Noach. It's a story we're all familiar with. We begin the book of Bereishis, the book of Genesis, with such potential, with such promise. Hashem creates Adam and Chava, but as a result of one bad decision, leads to a second tumultuous situation, tragic situation with Cain and Hevel, one brother rising up against another, until mankind begins to experience this downward spiral. Mankind gets involved in all types of negative behaviors, which ultimately leads Hashem to tell Noach at the beginning of this week's parasha, "Ketz kol basar ba lefanai ki malah ha'aretz zima." The end of mankind has come before me, for mankind has just become depraved. It's just become so sinful. Hashem says, although I have the ability to forgive, at this point in time, the world, mankind, is so broken that I need to start again. And so Hashem instructs Noach to make a teva, to make an ark that would rescue some of mankind. Noach and his family would restart mankind, would restart the human race. After the flood, a sampling of all the various animals, kosher animals, non-kosher animals, everyone taken onto the teva, a three-level ark. Top level for people, second level for animals, third level for refuse and for garbage. And that ark was to contain the remnants of life of this world so that when the floodwaters would subside, Noah would get out, rebuild, the animals would get out and repopulate, and mankind, the world, would have a second chance. And there are two beautiful lessons that are learned out from this. Number one is that Rashi tells us that the building of the ark took close to 120 years. And the question is obvious. It took a long time because Noach built it himself. Why did it have to take so long? At the end of the day, why can't Noach hire a crew? Why can't Hashem say, get a bunch of people, build the ark? We can expedite, we can make the whole thing much faster and move forward. But you see something amazing. You see how much Hashem loves everyone, even the sinner. Because as Rashi points out, the whole point during the construction of the ark, Noach is banging away. People would stop by and say, Noach, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you up to? Noach would say, I'm building an ark. They would say, why are you building an ark? Noach would say, because God is going to bring a flood that is going to wipe out the world. Why is God going to bring out a flood that's going to wipe out the world? Because of the sinful and terrible behavior of man. The goal was that people would see the building of the ark. People would hear Noach's report. People would do teshuva. People would repent. People would change their ways. And so Hashem gives them as much time as possible. Over a century, the construction of the ark took for Noach, and I guess for his sons who helped him out. And during that time, Hashem is hoping every single day, that mankind was going to change, that people would turn over a new leaf. So lesson number one is that Hashem loves us so much that even when we do things wrong, He waits for us to turn ourselves around. He waits as long as He possibly can, holding out hope that some way, somehow, we're going to become different. But there's a second lesson. The second lesson is sometimes things become so broken that they cannot be fixed. We see this again with mankind. Hashem gives mankind multiple opportunities to do tshuva, to turn themselves around, to repent, to redo, but they don't take advantage of that. So at a certain point in time, the world becomes so broken that Hashem has no choice but to deconstruct, to erase everything, and to start again. And this is true in life as well. There are times when we make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes could be quite severe and overwhelming. Sometimes the way we correct our mistakes is we correct our mistakes. I did something wrong. I could go back. I could untangle it. I could unwind it, and I can make it better. There are some times that the things that we've done in the life that we have led is so broken that I have to just start all over again. Sometimes it's not just about turning over a new page or turning over a new leaf, but sometimes it's about writing a new book. It's about planting a new tree. It's about starting all over again. The beautiful part is Hashem gives us both of these opportunities, whether it's to unwind, untangle from my wrongdoings and try to straighten out that which is crooked, try to remake that which is a little bit tarnished. And sometimes I just have to start all over again. Sometimes I have to say what I've been doing up until this point is not working. It's time for a break with the past in order that I could create for myself a new future. The floodwaters come, wipe out everything. Make a long story short, the floodwaters subside. The floodwaters recede. Noach comes out, offers up karbanos, offerings. Hashem pledges to never again destroy the world, gives us the sign of the rainbow. The rainbow, as the symbol of Hashem's promise to never again destroy the world. Noach comes out, restarts his family. The animal kingdom repopulates, and it looks like life is good. Until we come to the end of the parsha. Because the end of the parsha contains another traumatic and dramatic story. It's the episode that is known as Migdal Bavel. The Torah tells us that humanity had gathered in a particular area. This is in chapter 11. Chapter 11, everyone spoke one language. We're unified in their, I guess, mankind agenda. They settled in the land of Shinar. Okay, so far so good. So what did they decide to do in the land of Shinar? They said to one another, so I said, let's make bricks, stones. Let's build a tower that extends all the way to the heavens. And the way we generally understand it is that what happened over here, the people, humanity, wanted to wage war with God. They're building a tower, what becomes known as the Tower of Babel, Migdal Babel, and they go ahead and they go to wage war. They're going up, they're ascending to the heavens to wage war against Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, obviously is not very happy with this. So in an effort to thwart their plans, he mixes up their languages. So now suddenly again, no one is speaking the same language. Well, once no one is speaking the same language, it's impossible to continue to build the tower. Humanity can no longer work together, and kind of each group or tribe or family went their own way, and humanity disperses everywhere. Rashi points out a fascinating idea. Rashi says, I don't understand. The generation of the flood were wiped out in totality, killed. Everything is wiped off the face of the earth. The generation, the people who built the tower, their languages are changed, and they're dispersed. So Rashi says, "V'chi ezo kasha." Tell me, whose sin was worse? Shel dor ha-mabul or shel dor ha-flaga? Eilu lo pashtu yad be'ikar, ve'eilu pashtu yad be'ikar. You know, the generation of the flood, they were bad, but they never actively rebelled against God. The truth is, they rebelled against God in that they weren't following God's rules or God's edicts, but they didn't actively go to war with God. The generation who built the flood actively built a tower to ascend to the heavens, to go to war with God. Isn't the greatest sin a person could possibly commit? It's to roll up your sleeves and put up your fist and say, Ribon Lashon, God, I'm coming for you. I'm coming to fight with you. I no longer serve you. You're not the boss. I'm the boss. So Rashi says, I don't understand. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. It would appear that the generation who built the tower committed such a worse avera than the generation of the flood, yet the generation of the flood is wiped out, decimated, erased, and the generation who built the tower, their languages are mixed up and they're dispersed. It's a punishment, it's true, but they're still alive. So Rashi says, how do you understand this distinction? And Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says the generation of the flood, they were thieves, they were immoral, they mistreated one another. V'elu hayu noagim ava v'reyos b'nehem. And ultimately, again, the generation who built the tower, although they were doing war with God, they were at peace, harmony, and had love for one another. Rashi says, l'marata shesanoi ha-machlokes v'gadol ha-shalom. We see how much Hashem despises machlokes, despises infighting, despises interpersonal conflict, and how much he values shalom. Rashi says something astoundingly amazing. The generation who built the tower, as bad as they were, going to war with God, challenging the authority of God, they got along with one another. There was shalom. There was love. There was respect. The generation of the flood, Maybe they didn't do war with God, but they did war with one another. They mistreated, they abused one another. And Hashem says something amazing. It is more important to me that you get along with each other than that you get along with me. It's more important to me that you love and treat appropriately one another than it is that you love and you treat me appropriately. Hashem says, it's okay. I have a thick skin. If you come to war against me, I got it. I'll handle it. But you go to war with each other. Hashem says, I'm sorry. That I can't handle. And this, my friends, I think is an incredible message on so many levels. Obviously, the ideal is that we act appropriately, we behave appropriately with God and with our fellow man. But we see how much Hashem despises machlokes, how much God dislikes interpersonal strife when we fight with each other. And this is a message we have to take to heart. We have to take it to heart in our marriages. We have to take it to heart with our brothers and sisters. We have to take it to heart with our friends, with our coworkers, in every life relationship. There's no shortage of reasons to fight. There's no shortage of good reasons to have machlokes, to have strife, to duke it out. But is it worth it? At the end of the day, the world was destroyed simply because people weren't nice to each other, because people weren't civil to each other, because people weren't kind to each other. Even when mankind rebelled against God himself, the world was not destroyed. People were scattered. There was punishment, but the world endured. Where there is shalom, where there is peace between man and his fellow, the world could weather many challenges. But the moment that there's a breakdown between me and you, the moment that we fight, the moment that there's machlokes, is the moment that we begin to untangle the very fabric of the human condition. This is a lesson that we must internalize. This is a lesson that we must build into our lives. This is a lesson that we must live. May we be privileged to find peace in our relationship with Hashem and with our fellow man. May we be privileged to have a loving relationship with Hashem and with our fellow man. And may we be privileged to find the strength to avoid machlokes, to avoid fighting and conflict in all of our relationships. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.